we go now, baby? We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to a very special Friday edition. Before you bet, Aaron live on YouTube and on X. If you're on YouTube right now, smash that subscribe button right down there. Big basketball show today. I think we have 12 or 13 picks across March Madness and the NBA. We'll try to do a little bit better than Kentucky did last night. What an absolute embarrassment that was. If you guys want to participate in the show today, it's very easy to do so. Hit up the live chat, whether it be on YouTube or over on X. Let us know what your best bets are for March Madness, for the NBA. Hey, if there's something you like in the NHL, let us know there as well. Okay, so March Madness. Let's get into it. Let's bring in my first guest of the day, Jason Logan. We know him as J-Lo, covering the tournament here for us. J-Lo, what about Kentucky here? What a complete and total embarrassment that is. John Calipari, I think he's a candidate for the most overrated coach in all of sports right now. He doesn't do anything. He won one national championship. When was that? Back in 2012? Accomplished jack shit year after year. Where is the urgency? Did they not learn after they lost to St. Peter's 2 years ago? I'm not a massive college basketball guy, but I was just disgusted by that performance last night. Your thoughts on Kentucky?
Yeah, I mean, fantastic recruiter. Cal is a fantastic recruiter. If you're looking to make money, if you're looking for a quick stop, you want to get those NIL deals, Kentucky is your place. That's the player that you're going to get in Kentucky. Someone that's not necessarily thinking about winning games and winning national championships, thinking about their brand, thinking about their future as a professional basketball player. That's the kind of athlete that Kentucky's going to get. Fantastic. Jay Wright said it last night. These guys are going to be great pros. They're not great college basketball players. And I will say there's a big difference in like man strength. You have 18-year-olds going against guys that are 22 and 23 and 24 years old that have been playing 4 and 5 years of college basketball, some of these guys. There's a big difference. I'm 44. I play in a league with some 20-year-olds. And I can ragdoll the 20-year-old. So, it's the same thing, playing against some of these 18-year-old guys. They're just not, one, the focus is not there. And two, they're just physically not as, ready to go in those close games, especially where you get a team like Oakland that just wants to body them. So,
yeah, I just think they're a joke. I don't want to hear anything about John Calipari, the legendary college basketball coach. I am not buying it. Okay. Why am I so upset? I had in one of my brackets, I had Kentucky advancing to the Final Four. So that's on you, though.
That's your fault. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's on you.
I didn't learn from the past. Neither did
I. I had them losing to NC State.
Okay.
Which is a senior laden team. Yeah. Man strong team, as we saw last night.
Yeah, so bullshit. Calipari will be back, though, because I think he has a $30 million buyout. If they want to get rid of him, they got to write him a check for around $30 million. So I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, let's quit wasting time here. Let's get into today's March Madness action. Let's start with Colgate versus Baylor. Some afternoon action here. I am on the underdog in this one. Colgate plus 14. And a half. So I think Colgate can create a challenge on the defensive end. This is a team that ranks 18th in defensive efficiency. Real potential to keep scoring down and to keep this game from getting away from them. Now you combine that defensive effort with Baylor's offense that drops off significantly when they're away from home. They average around 12 and a half fewer points per game on the road. EFG shooting percentage dropped by almost 10%. And I think we got some real Cinderella potential here with Colgate. Is this today's Oakland? Maybe. This is a team that's lost just one game in 2024. A lot of lopsided wins. How a little bit of goddamn respect for the Patriot League champions here. Give me Colgate plus 14 and a half. Now, you kind of like them. You're betting on them too, but in a different way. So break this one down.
Yeah, this is. I'm going to price is right you. You just bet $700. And I'm going to go $699. I'm going to take Colgate in the first half, plus 8. And there's some reasons why. So, Sid Colgate's defense is really good. And the things that they do really good are things that Baylor wants to do. Colgate is very good at protecting against the three-point shot. They're very good at keeping opponents off the offensive glass. And they're very good at not getting whistles called on them, and Baylor is depending on to get the foul line for a significant chunk of their offense. So all those things are you know, tough matchups against Colgate. Baylor is a slow starting team. They've covered just four times in the last 14 first half spreads. And if you look at their average margin of victory in the first half, it's just under three. They're one of the best second half teams. And this is an early tip off for them too. It's like a 12:40 something tip off. So it's a little early wake up call for the Bears. So I expect them to come out flat. Colgate's going to put a little bit of a scare on them. The reason I didn't go with the full spread like you did is one, because Baylor is really good in the second half. They have the talent advantage. Scott Drew is one of the best coaches in the country. He knows how to get it done. He's won a national title there. The adjustments, talent is going to take over 40 minutes, but I think the Cougars keep it close, stay within this eight.
Okay, live chat. Jigglypuff weighing in. We'll give him a break on that Buffalo Bills avatar he has there. He likes James Madison today. He's taking them 5.5 points as like the monster lock of the tourney.
Oh, boy.
You heard it here first from Jigglypuff. Over 800 people watching live now on YouTube and X. Guys, hit up the live chat. Let us know what your lock of the day is, and I will read a few off throughout the course of the show.
I will say James Madison is one of the most popular bets today as an underdog. I was doing the action reports for covers. That's coming out soon. And in terms of bet count, ticket count, money, all that stuff, a lot of people like James Madison over Wisconsin today.
Well, as they say, square dogs have fleas, baby. We shall see. Okay, biggest underdog of the day. Hoof, hoof, hoof. Barking loud here for Stetson. +26.5 going against the favorite of the tournament here. So monster number here. And I think Stetson can put up enough points to keep this from getting too ridiculous. Yeah, they're going to lose. 27 points is a lot to win by here for UConn. So yeah, Stetson can score. They averaged 88 points per game during the Atlantic Sun tourney. They capped it off by scoring 94 in the final. Yeah, their defense sucks, but they'll be pushing on offense all game long. UConn scoring average, we saw that take a significant hit when away from home. Yeah, they're still pretty good on the road, to be fair, but their average scoring margin dropped by almost 16 points when on the road. And this game has the potential to be played at a pretty slow pace. I think that could make winning by a massive margin a bit of a challenge here. These teams rank 292nd and 300th in possessions per game. So we'll take the big dog there against UConn, +26.5. Okay, J-Lo, you have a player prop for today. Who's on your radar?
I do have a player prop. So I bet the over early on for the New Mexico Clemson game. This one actually opened as low as 147.5, the total. It's up to like 152 now at some places. So just a landslide of action on the over. So they're expecting a lot of points. And what that means is a lot of touches for Clemson big man, PJ Hall. This is one of the better big guys in the country right now. He's a stud big man. He averages just under 19 points per game, and he's gone for 18 or more in four straight games. Now, New Mexico does a great job of protecting the perimeter, but they're a little soft inside. And if you look at their games and their matchups against Mountain West Conference big men and the elite big men, they got bullied by those big men, gave up a lot of points there. Player projections for Hall right now sitting at 20 plus. And this is an odds market, too, that's kind of all over the place. We're seeing over 17.5, as high as -146 at some books. You can get I got it at -102. It's at -105 at FanDuel right now, which is great compared to everyone else. That's very, very juicy on the over 17.5 from Hall today. So I think he goes to work for Clemson. I don't know if they win this one, but promising a lot of points in this one.
Okay, we have some more love in the live chat for James Madison. Luke Murphy, he's going to take them to go over their team total 69.5, a game I'm about to talk about, Duke versus Vermont. Dell, producer Dell, weighing in. He likes Vermont as the underdog there, 13.5. Duke are frauds like Kentucky. He's calling this his eternal lock.
Oh,
beautiful stuff. Lauren C. Bishop, St. Mary's is on a roll, likes them a lot.
Yeah.
David CK07, he's on Stetson +27.5. You got a better number than I did. Maybe it just went up. We have to submit our picks, I don't know, half hour, yeah. Hour.
I will say, Joe, if you want the lottery ticket on Stetson to knock off UConn as a 16 over one, open plus plus 3,300. Okay.
Yeah,
it's taking nothing like that's, but that's the only bet that they, that's like the only action coming on money line is them. They're down to +2,000 now because of just people trying to throw a lottery ticket on Stetson to beat UConn.
I have no interest in that. That's
that is
complete and total waste of money. I don't know if you can even say stranger things have happened. That'd probably be the biggest.
Saw it last year and saw it in 2018 with Virginia.
UConn, that's true.
Is just so just versatile, and you know, they maybe they don't cover that spread, but they're not losing this game.
Yeah. David CK07, wish I knew a lock. I'm here to tail your locks. I never call my bets locks.
No,
I'll say sometimes I'll say close to a lock, but yeah. I don't use that expression. Okay. My final pick for today. I got three for the tournament. I got a four for NBA coming up. So a game we just discussed, Vermont versus Duke. We have a total of 132. I'm going over in this one, baby. So I'm bucking the trends here. Usually I see a bunch of under trends and I think, well, let's see if we got a good case for an under. We do not. I think the total is set too low based on an avalanche of unders from each team here lately. Duke games this season average 147.2 combined points. They often have games set in the 140s and 150s. So I think we're getting a low number that we can take advantage of. Don't expect a lot of empty possessions from these teams either. This is where they match up pretty good. So both offenses do a great job of protecting the basketball. Both defenses really struggle to create turnovers. Both turn it over fewer than 10 times per game. So I think we're going to see a lot of clean possessions in this one. We're going to take advantage of a low number. I think that total is set too low. So I'll take the over for Duke versus Vermont, baby. J-Lo, any closing thoughts before we kick you out the door here?
No, I do like Dayton +9.5. If you're looking for a number on the round of 32 games, I like them +9.5 against Arizona. What we saw from Dayton in the first 32 minutes of that game is not reflective of what the Dayton Flyers are. And it's going to be a tough matchup for Arizona.
Okay, there you have it, our March Madness best bets for today. We got a bunch of other stuff over at coverage.com, though, so make sure you check that out. Make sure you're following over on X as well. The guys do a great job of tweeting out, or if it's called X, so do we still call it tweeting? I guess we do unofficially.
Yeeting?
Yeah, but the boys do a great job there of covering up-to-the-minute stuff, betting information. So make sure you're following Covers over on X / Twitter. Okay, J-Lo, thanks a lot, man. We'll catch you next time we catch you. Thanks for joining. Yeah, best of luck with your bet.
All right, you too, Joe. Thanks.
All right, I see a guy named John Mettler weighing in here. He likes Grand Canyon today. So let's bring in John here. We're not going to be talking Grand Canyon with him because we got a lot of NBA to discuss. Nice bounce back from you there yesterday, John. You swept your picks. Feeling pretty good here this morning, right?
Yeah, I swept the show ones. There's a couple on Twitter I gave out that loss to, so it wasn't a complete sweep for me. But
Show sweep.
So that's good.
Indeed. Okay. So hopefully you stay hot here. We have seven total bets in the NBA. I'm going to get us started in Minnesota, where the Cleveland Cavaliers are in town. Total pretty low here, 206.5. I'm going over on this one. I think this number is too low. Some of these totals in the NBA getting too low based on avalanche of unders we've been seeing here since the All-Star break. So I think we could take advantage in this game. Look at the scoring patterns for these teams in situations with lower totals. Minnesota is 9-1 to the over in their last 10 games when the total is 220 or below. These two teams, they've combined to go over this number of 206.5 in 18 of their last 20 games. Now, neither offense anything to write home about lately, right around league average over the past few weeks. But here's the thing. So is the Timberwolves' defense. They're falling off a little bit. Is the grind of the season starting to catch up to them? Maybe. But last 10 games, they're outside of the top 10 in defensive rating, right at 10th in points allowed. Now, that's a pretty notable decline considering over the course of the season, they rank first overall in defensive rating. So I don't think it's going to be a track meet by any means in Minnesota, but I think that number's too low. So I'm going to look to jump on the over in that one. Okay, Mettler, we have OKC taking on Toronto Raptors, and you like Chet Holmgren to do something here tonight. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm going Chet Holmgren over 2.5 assists. This is kind of risky, right? The Thunder are a 15.5 point favorite. The Raptors just got absolutely destroyed by the Sacramento Kings in their last game. You know, you're hoping it can stay close enough that Holmgren will see the minutes that we expect him to see. I'm going to play it because I know the spread's big, but the Raptors are giving up a ton of assists to the center position. You know, Sabonis got a triple-double even though the game was a blow and his minutes were down because he didn't play in the fourth quarter. He put up a lot of assists. He is an assist guy. The thing that really grabbed my attention, you know, for Holmgren is recently, you know, they played Jalen Duren. Jalen Duren had 6 potential assists. That's just not a guy who, you know, puts up those type of numbers. Wendell Carter Jr. on the Magic, same thing. Like, he's usually, you know, like 2-3 potential assists. He had 5 against the Raptors. Holmgren obviously has like a much, you know, stronger skill set of, you know, dribbling the ball. He can play on the perimeter. He can set up his teammates and stuff. But like Jalen Duren and Wendell Carter Jr. aren't those type of guys. I just think Chet Holmgren, you know, if you get him on the perimeter, there's no rim protection on the Raptors. The Thunder have Jalen Williams, Josh Giddey, lots of guys who like to make cuts, catch a pass and lay it in. That should be it there against the Raptors. So I'm hoping Holmgren finds those guys.
Yeah, I was looking at SGA and Lu Dort to potentially go over their point totals with the Raptors struggling against opposing guards. But like you pointed out, that spread kind of scares me away from a real blow of potential. And it's funny we bring that up because I talked about I almost hit the back button on Luka to go over 34.5 points yesterday. I steered clear of that one because the spread was a little outrageous. I think it was 14, 15 points. He finished with 34 points. So I looked at that and breathed a sigh of relief I did not bet that one. Okay, one I will be betting, though, one of my favorite spots here over the past couple of weeks, Anthony Simons. I'm going to take him to go over his 3-point total, 3.5 threes, plus 105 in this one. So here's the thing. Last time out in this exact same matchup versus the LA Clippers, this bet was juiced to minus 135. Now here we have it at plus 105. Reason being, he only hit 2 threes in that last game versus the Clippers, where he played reduced minutes. But overall, he's in great form. He's had 4 or more threes in 8 of his last 10 games. And here's a trend I pointed out the other day when I made this pick. Jeremy Grant, doubtful to play. Simons has hit 4 or more threes in 12 of the 14 games that Grant has missed. So when Grant sits, that's a lot of extra shots to go around here for the Trailblazers. And to bring it all together, great matchup to go off from three-point land. LA struggling to defend the three. They've allowed the 5th most threes on the 3rd highest percentage over the last 10 games. For what it's worth, Simons hit 5 threes in the game versus the Clippers earlier in the season. So we'll take him plus 105. Okay, next up, Jeremy Sochan. Is it the Spurs are playing who? Grizzlies. Yeah, break this one down.
Yeah, so I'm going Jeremy Sochan over 2.5 assists. This Sochan's been someone I've kind of been tracking his odds almost for like a month here. The thing was, you know, every time I kind of like checked in on his odds, you'd see, you know, he was going under his assist total. You'd see this total dropping down to this 2.5 range. And it was like kind of intriguing. But then you'd go watch film and you'd look at potential assists and you're just like, God, they just really pushed him off the ball. Like, you know, beginning of the year, he was the point guard. And now Trey Jones starts, but they almost pushed him so far off the ball, you couldn't even play the assist prop. Now we're kind of like back in that middle ground, which is why I'm coming after it today. Like, if you just, I think it's his last 6 games, he's averaging 6.8 potential assists. That's a big number for someone trading at 2.5. And even if you just go watch film, like against the Mavericks in their last game, you know, he's in dribble handoff actions. Those are great for assists because you know, the guy catches on the run, he lays it in type thing. He's also running some inverse pick and rolls where Wembanyama's the dribbler. He's the screener. Also good for pick and for potential assists because obviously defenses have to push up on Wembanyama. He can shoot over anyone. So then the pass goes to Sochan. You know, the defense is collapsing and he's got options all over for potential assists. I just think, you know, 2.5, he's finally back in a role where before I was like, you watch film, he's just standing in the corner. Like, oh my God, I don't think he can get over the 2.5. He's back in, they found a good middle ground with him. So I'm taking the 2.5 tonight.
Okay, next up for me, let's go to the West Coast. Indiana Pacers paying a visit to the Warriors. Total of 240. If you've been following my coverage here of the Pacers here lately, what do you think I'm doing in this game? I'm going to take the under on 240. So this is right at that magic number for the Pacers. I've been pointing to this one quite a bit lately, so here's the trend. Indiana has gone under the total in 16 of their last 17 games when the total is set below 240. A little bit of wiggle room here with the number right at 240. And check out this trend. Really flying under the radar. Indiana is 19-4 to the under in their last 23 road games. Something else that's flying under the radar is the Pacers' three-point shooting. It's been god-awful here lately, 28th in three-point percentage over the last 10 games, but they're balancing that out by stepping up on the defensive end, allowing the third fewest threes per game. Something else that lines up pretty good for some low scoring here, especially with a really high total here. The Warriors are struggling quite a bit to get to the free throw line, but they're doing a good job playing clean defense, keeping opponents off the line. So maybe not a whole lot of freebies here for the Pacers. Okay, Mettler, you're betting on this game too. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I think this is the first duo prop we've ever put up on the screen. So I'm going Andrew Nembhard over 3.5 assists and TJ McConnell over 4.5 assists. This isn't a parlay. They're two straight bets. I just put them on the same graphic because it's kind of the same idea with what I'm attacking for both of them. So I didn't think we needed two different graphics for them and stuff and two different explanations. So basically the last time the Warriors and Pacers played, you know, it was a complete blowout. All three of their guards, Haliburton, McConnell, Nembhard, combined for 37 potential assists. That is like, just as a position, that's a massive number. The thing is, they all played under 26 minutes. That's like nowhere near the amount of minutes that these guys typically play. So they did that in a short amount of time. And it was a blow because Curry was hitting logo threes the whole game. I think he hit like seven straight threes to start the game. It's something crazy. But why I'm attacking both of these guys, you know, if you go back and watch the film, they started the game, Andrew Nembhard, Miles Turner, pick and roll, and they did it twice. And what they're trying to attack is, you know, the smaller Warriors lineup, Draymond Green on Miles Turner. They're trying to get Miles Turner on the roll to finish at the rim, but they're also going at Stephen Curry on defense, right? So Andrew Wiggins guarding Tyrese Haliburton, let's put Nembhard in the pick and roll because then we can attack Curry and the smaller Green. And then McConnell's a sub who comes in and it'll just be the same thing. They're going to try to do the same thing and stuff. McConnell's, if he gets minutes, he's an assist guy. I just think, you know, with Benedict Mathurin out too, these minutes for McConnell and Nembhard, they're pretty secure unless the game is a 30-point blow, but we can't predict that. These minutes are secure for these guys. They're down a bunch of guys. You know, Mathurin's out, Nembhard, and they need someone to defend Curry on the opposite end, and they need someone to chase Curry around. It's not going to be Haliburton. So I think just Nembhard and McConnell, these guys are going to see minutes. I think they're going to use them in the pick and roll to attack the Warriors as well.
Okay, last but not least on a jam-packed show here today, we are in Los Angeles where the Philadelphia 76ers are intending to play the Lakers, and I'm jumping on the over, and this one a total of 224.5. So this is a trend I pointed to, an emerging one. The Lakers, 7-1 to the over in their last 8 games when the total is set below 230. And this is a similar handicap to the Hawks-Lakers game on Monday, which had a total, I think it was 225. That easily went over. This is in relation to the 76ers. You might take a look at some of their numbers lately and think, hey, they're playing pretty good on the defensive end. Well, you got to really consider the competition here. This recent stretch they've had, Miami, Charlotte, the Knicks twice, Memphis, Brooklyn, New Orleans, a lot of slow-paced teams that play in lower scoring games, some of them absolute dog shit on offense as well. And I do think they have a serious rude awakening coming against this Lakers team, who's second in points scored, second in offensive rating since the All-Star break. But here's the thing, the Lakers' defense is absolute dog shit. They absolutely stink. Their game's averaging 239.2 combined points since the All-Star break. So I think we get an over there between the Lakers and the 76ers. Mettler, you said you want to discuss Coach of the Year odds. You have a bit of an angle or a bit of a rant here for us?
A little bit of rant, a little of an angle, a little of both. Maybe a little biased take with my Orlando Magic hat on. But it's Jamal Mosley for Coach of the Year, the Orlando Magic coach. So, you know, I bet this in August, actually. I bet Mosley, and I've doubled down throughout the season here on Mosley as well. That narrative is, this maybe is something we should have talked about even just yesterday before they blew up the Pelicans. He was, you know, he's available like 50-1. I'm looking now, he's like 10-1. So this narrative is picking up steam for Mosley. Just Mosley, I mean, you look at Coach of the Year, you know, what Mosley has done in Orlando, they are going into a rebuild. These guys he's winning with, these are his guys. Like, he came in, he drafted Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner, he drafted Paolo Banchero. To me, that like the culture flip and like what they're doing, that just screams coach of the year. And the one thing that I really wanted to say on the soapbox here about this for Mosley for coach of the year is the Orlando Magic are 47-23 covering the spread this year. That's first in the NBA. That is 67%. If you are a sports bettor, that is the most insane number you've ever seen. 67%. That just doesn't happen. And when you, I mean, when you take down like what is covering the spread, that means he consistently exceeded the expectations of what people thought his roster should do on that night. And to me, I think that's coach of the year material right there.
Like, yeah. Some good points there. They're 16-3 as a favorite at home against the spread.
Yeah. And there was a graphic a couple weeks ago. I think they had the third most injured minutes this year. He hasn't had a healthy team. So like, and I know Mark, I'm not saying Mark Dano shouldn't be coached. He's done a great job too, but the Thunder have had the healthiest team if you look at minutes. So I just think, you know, when you look at the spread record, it's showing you that regardless of who was in and out for these Magic lineups, he was consistently able to exceed those expectations. And to me, I think that's coach of the year.
Yeah. I think the rebuild may be a little ahead of schedule for the Magic. It's going quite well. I think they're probably, they're one really good player away from being, you know, a really good team, I would say, but they're a good team at this point for having a lot of young guys. And that's a lot more than divisional rivals, the Hornets and Wizards can say, teams who are in a similar situation, like this rebuild for the Hornets, it's just not working out. LaMelo Ball's never on the court. They did the right thing. They got rid of Terry Rozier and who was the other guy? They got Gordon Hayward. They got rid of him. But if you want to, you got to fully commit to a rebuild. Like the Washington Wizards might be the dumbest team in all of sports. Why did you bring back Kyle Kuzma this year? You know what I mean? Why did you wait so long to trade Bradley Beal? Like the NBA is the ultimate league. You don't want to be in the middle, especially at the bottom of that middle. And that's where the Wizards were forever. And I guess they're finally trying to commit to a rebuild now, in a year where people are saying it's one of the worst NBA drafts in recent memory. So good for your Orlando Magic, Mettler. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, it was just like they brought in Mosley for the rebuild, and he's just all of a sudden, you know, the other thing too, sorry, I'm obviously a little passionate about this. I have a bet on it too, so it's obviously a biased take, and I'm a fan. But yeah. The other thing too is just if you check, like if the Denver Nuggets run down the Thunder, which is completely possible if you look at projections and stuff, you know, if the Thunder don't win the division, they don't have the one seed. And the Magic are also in a spot they can run down the Cavs for the three seed. If the Thunder drop down to two, aren't division champs, and the Magic are three and are division champs, I just think that gap between Mark Dano and Jamal Mosley gets really, really tight too. So
Magic, Thunder, NBA Finals. Maybe in a couple of years, these teams are going here. But we're going to leave it at that for today. What a great show here, and what a great day of sports betting action we have ahead of us, especially on the hardwood, March Madness. Great looking board in the NBA once again. So we're going to be back next week at our regular time. We went early yesterday and today due to the tip-off for March Madness. But John, thanks a lot for joining. Best of luck with your bets tonight over the course of the weekend. Thank you very much to everyone who watched the show today. Guys, best of luck with your bets. Hopefully those brackets aren't broken by the end of the weekend. Thanks a lot for watching. We'll catch you guys again on Monday. Yeah!